You know, Hanover, Indiana is what I call the land of milk and honey. I know you can get milk over here at Pride Grocery, and I found my honey right down here on Joe's Lane. God bless me with my honey. Angie, wave your hand. This is Angie, who God allowed me to marry, so I'm so thankful for her. Her parents, my in-laws, are with me today, Don and Becky Weedman. So glad that they came. My parents, my stepdad Larry, and my mother Norma are with us today. Two of my children are here, Josh, who's 16, and Elise, who's 10. So we are honored to be a part of the service today, to come and praise God with you and to learn more about what the Lord had put on our hearts. I want to tell you about how I met your pastor. Now, God put me in the car business, and I wandered around a little bit. That's why I'm using this mic, okay? God put me in the car business a long time ago. I think I've been in it 38 years. Well, maybe two or three years after I first got started, I met your pastor. I have a flair for color. I like colorful things that don't look like everything else. Well, I had bought this bright yellow Oldsmobile 98 Regency. Now, I don't know if you guys know what the younger guys, Oldsmobile hadn't been around for a while, but this was a big car that was kind of like a Cadillac sedan DeVille. And this baby was bright yellow. It had light brown leather tucked interior. It had a light brown vinyl top. Now, what would a bright yellow car with a brown vinyl top remind you of? A big banana. That's exactly right. Well, I'm not the only guy in Southern Indiana who has good taste. Your pastor came over, and he liked it too. Now, I don't know if Cindy liked her or if he had to talk her into it, but they bought that car. He said it served him for many years, and if you saw a bright yellow Olds 98 going through Hanover, I'm the guy who did it. Sorry about that. But I had a kinship with him right off because I thought anybody's got good enough taste to buy a yellow car. I like this guy. So I've always liked JD and been proud to be his friend. But you know, not only that, I appreciate his steadfastness to stay with a congregation this day and time for a pastor to stay with a community and a congregation for over 30 years. That really says something. I appreciate your supporting your pastor. I appreciate him being here, his family growing up with your family, and you both growing in Christ Jesus. So what an honor to be a part of this today. He tells me about your new campus coming. Man, is that awesome or what? That means God is growing. He has big plans for you. And so I look forward to seeing what's going to happen. And it's great to be with you today. I asked JD, I said, what are you studying these days? And he said, well, we're in the book of Acts. And I said, what would you like me to speak on? He said, well, why don't you tell everybody your story? I thought about that for a short time, and I thought, nah, I'd rather talk about Jesus. In Matthew 16, I'm going to be jumping around a lot today. We're not going to focus on one major thing. We're going to go around a lot of things that you could probably make 100 sermons of, but we're going to go back to the basics. There used to be a group called For Him, and they sang a song called The Basics of Life. Sometimes we just need to go back to the basics to remind ourselves where we came from and where we're going. Amen? So in Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3, Jesus asked us a question today. He said, how is it that you can read the weather? You know if it's going to rain or if you know the sun's coming, but you can't discern the signs of the times. How is it that you can know what the weather is going to be and dress for that, but yet you can't discern the signs of the times? Well, you ask me, what are you asking this morning? I'm asking, are we so busy in our personal lives and have become so accustomed to all the unlikely occurrences that that's becoming our new norm? That we're forgetting to watch for the signs of Jesus' soon return. As my mom will attest, my grandma Amy, from the time I was a little boy, she loved prophecy. Now, if you don't know what prophecy is what God's word, the Bible, says through prophets that God says is going to happen in our future. Well, when I was a little boy, I'm 59 years old, so in the early 60s, grandma would say, now you watch, this is going to happen one of these days, and that's going to happen. Guess what? It's happening. It's happening right now. So, it's just exciting to see that we're living in this time. Angie and I recently went to a prophecy conference a few hours from here. And the host was Dr. David Reagan with Lamb and Lion Ministries. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's really good if you love prophecy. There were several guest speakers. Bob Russell was one among several other great speakers. And they all had one thing to say. They said, look up and be ready because Jesus is coming soon. They had everyone stand on their tiptoes. I'm not going to ask you to do that. Can everybody see me? They had everybody stand on their tiptoes and go like this. You say, what are they doing? They said, these are rapture exercises because they said, we are that close to the rapture. What the rapture is, if you're unfamiliar with that, that's when Jesus comes back to take all those who are His. He's going to take us out. Amen? We're looking forward to that. So you say, well, you know, we're busy. What's this got to do with us? What kind of signs are you talking about? I want to point out some things. I want to slow us down in our busy lives and point some things out to you so that you can be ready and be watching. What about natural disasters? Have you ever seen so many natural disasters in our lifetime? Tornadoes. You know, you're very familiar with tornadoes. Back in 74, I remember driving through the neighborhood. Actually, I didn't know I was going to marry a girl in Joe's Lane, but we drove through there as a kid. Mom drove us through there. And we saw all the disaster that happened through that tornado in 74. You guys remember that? Oh, it was devastating. Well, they're everywhere now. You turn on the TV, through the Midwest, the tornadoes are just tearing up. Earthquakes and rumors of earthquakes. Flooding. Have you ever seen so much floods? Oh, my. Hurricanes, heat waves, wildfires, volcanoes, just to name a few. Now, if natural disasters aren't enough, how about world unrest? What about the trade war with China going on right now? What about North Korea led by Rocket Man? Iran's hatred of the West, which is the United States and Israel, and their development of nuclear explosives. The regime change in Venezuela, where the United States wants a different leader than Russia, Turkey, North Korea, Iran, or several other major countries. What about immigration? Have you paid attention to the immigration explosion? We have a crisis on our hands there on the border. What do you think about sanctuary cities where illegal aliens can come in and commit crimes, but yet they're sheltered by sanctuary cities? What about Russia? You know, the Bible calls Russia Gog and Magog. There's so much to read about Russia. We never know what she's going to do. And while we're at it, let's take a look at Israel. You know, Israel is the key to prophecy. You know, Israel is where it all started. So much going on in Israel. When we were at that prophecy conference, one of the speakers had just got back from Israel. And they were talking about, they are now have commercials on Israeli TV talking about the Third Temple. You guys familiar with the Third Temple? Amen. The Third Temple is where the Antichrist will rule out of. Now, you say, what is the Antichrist? Well, the Antichrist, you know, Satan is a great deceiver. He wants to be worshipped. He's bringing in his man, the Antichrist, to lead people in worship. Once we are raptured out, when God comes and Jesus takes his church out of here, then things are going to be chaotic. This will be the man who will be revealed at that time to bring things back together. This is right before the tribulation period. Now, I'm not going to give all this today. You'll have to invite me back for more of this. But it's all coming around to a point that we need to be ready. But he brought coins with him that they're already minting that are going to be used there at that time. He said that the priest already have the priestly garments ready. They already have the menorah ready. They have everything already set up. They are promoting on their television for them to go ahead and build this third temple. That's how close we are. You know, when they're promoting something on television, we're very close to that. So we need to be ready. What about the United States moving their embassy to Jerusalem? That's a big deal. Israel is the key, so watch that. And what these are is all signs getting ready for Christ's imminent return. So that's why we have to be ready. Have you ever seen such disrespect for a president of the United States? Whether you like Trump or whether you don't, have you ever in your lifetime, or your parents or your grandparents, ever seen disrespect of a cabinet and a president like this? Never. Never. Why is this all happening, you ask? Why is this happening in our lifetime? We just want to go to school. We just want to live our lives. We just want to be happy. It's because we're close to the end. I ran across this song. I want to read you the words. It's called 1159. It's written by Jeff Treese Band. Here's the words. Time is winding down. Just look around us. Evil's breaking loose in every side. The devil knows his time is almost over. But soon the clock will stop and Jesus Christ will split the sky. So shout it from the rooftops. Proclaim it in the streets. Tell your friends and neighbors. Tell everyone you meet. We all need a Savior, but we're running out of time. He's coming back at midnight and it's 11:59. God's prepared a place for all his children, free from fear and doubt, tears and pain. But we must choose our destination. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus is his name. At the right hand of the Father, he'll soon stand to his feet and hear, "Son, go get my children and bring them home to me." He's coming for a bride that's spotless and pure, washed in the blood and ready to go. Time is running out. It's almost midnight. It's 11:59. So shout it from the rooftops and proclaim it in the streets. Tell your friends and neighbors. Tell everyone you meet. We all need a Savior, but we're running out of time. He's coming in back at midnight, and it's 11:59. This brings us to our message this morning. You thought that was it, didn't you? Our message is continuing our walk as maturing believers at the 11th hour. Before I go into the message, let's bow for a word of prayer, can we? Father, how awesome it is to be in your house. I thank you for this precious group of brothers and sisters, Lord, who come and gather today to want to learn more about you. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just anoint this message. Lord, that you would allow this to open the eyes of our hearts, that we can understand, that we can be ready. And Lord, and not only for us, but Lord, for our families, for our coworkers, for our friends, for our students, for our teachers. Lord, that you just help us to be ready. Help us to understand. Give us a hunger and thirst, Lord, to want to read your word. And Holy Spirit, help us to understand it. Give us a boldness, Lord, to be able to tell other people about Jesus. And we just thank you today for this time. Now be with us as we learn and get into your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, last night we sang a song where we go to church, and it was an old song, but I love it. And I think it's very appropriate just to sing a verse right now. It's called "Open the Eyes of My Heart." It goes, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you." Sing with me if you know it. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. You're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy." Amen. As we continue into this message, I pray that the Lord would open the eyes of our hearts today. That something I say today can resonate with you, that you can be ready and you can tell someone that you love or someone that you care about. The message is entitled, "Continuing Your Walk as a Maturing Christian." The first thing I want to do is give some definitions. Go back to the basics of who we are as Christians. What is a Christian and what is a maturing Christian? I think it all starts right there at that picture. When I first walked in today, Melvin was sitting there by that picture, and that my eyes immediately went to that picture. Everybody see that picture over there? My grandma, Ruby, had a picture like that in her living room, and I always loved that picture, and I've got that picture now in my office. That's a picture of Jesus. That's where it all starts for us. He is the key to everything. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute, okay? Jesus is the one who bridges the gap. Let's go back to the beginning. You know, God created us with a free will, right? You got to choose what you want. You got to choose what color shirt you put on today. Well, she may have chose, but I don't know. But the reason he did that, he wanted you to have a free will to appreciate him, to love him, to choose him. You know, God gives us a free will because, you know, there was a poem one time, I think it went something like this. If you have a bird and set it free, if it comes back, it was yours. If it doesn't come back, it wasn't yours to start with.
I think God did the same thing with us. God gave you free will to see if you wanted to love Him and appreciate Him for who He is, what He's done for you. And if not, then maybe you weren't meant for that anyway. Amen? That's not an amen. We don't want that at all, do we? But Jesus came. You know, He put in Genesis 3, it says God put in the middle of the Garden of Eden. Remember, He put Adam and Eve. We're going back to the basics, okay? Sometimes we need to go back to those basics of life, like for Him. But in the middle of the garden, He put a tree. He said, all the trees, you can eat all the fruit, but do not eat of that one. Now, if He hadn't have done that, there would have been nothing they could have ever done wrong, right? So they could have never sinned. They would basically have been robots, right? That's why He had to do that. Well, here comes along Satan. Satan is a very powerful angel. He was created with a lot of power, a lot of beauty. He didn't want to worship God. He wanted to be worshipped. Okay? Pride. So Satan sees how much God loves you. He knows if he can make the man fall, make the woman fall, God's going to be hurt. Now, why He's hurt, I'm going to talk a lot of these angels into going to this revolt against God. He talked a third of all the angels into going to this revolt, okay? If I can just talk them into it, then we can beat God, and then they'll worship me, okay? Well, His plan backfired, but that's what they did. So here's Satan in the garden, okay? He talks to Eve and said, now, did God really say not to eat of that? Satan always puts just enough truth into a lie to make it believable. Because he knows the minute that you eat of that, you will be like God. So she took it and ate. And Adam also ate. We've been eating that fruit ever since, every one of us. You know, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. All. But God loved us so much, He didn't want to give up on you. He loves you that much. So God, in the form of His Son, comes down to redeem us. What's that mean exactly? That means flesh and blood. Jesus is God, God's only Son. He comes down to be born of a virgin and goes through everything we did. He got made fun of. He got probably beat up in school. He probably laughed at his birthday parties. He probably cried when things were bad. He skinned his knee just like we did. He got into a lot of different situations, just like we do. But yet He never sinned once. And He never used His God powers to keep Him from sinning. He became the man that Adam could never be. He became the man that you or I could never be. And that's why He bridged the gap. You see, God the Father is holy. He cannot be around sin. He is so pure, He can't even look upon it. But Jesus became the one that Adam was supposed to be starting with, okay? That's why we ask Jesus to come into our heart, because He bridges that gap. Amen? That's why Jesus is the key to us having salvation. That's why Jesus is the key for us to be able to get to heaven. Amen? Okay, so we've got Jesus.
We know that He is the key. Next thing I want to define, what is a believer? Okay, now a believer is not just a good person. Okay? You say, oh, they must be a Christian because they're a good person. Well, she helps old people cross the street. I saw her carrying the groceries out for somebody there at Pride Grocery. She must be a Christian. Now, those are qualities maybe of a Christian, but that doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is someone, according to the Bible, who admits that they are a sinner. Remember Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And also one that believes in their heart that Jesus is God, came down, was born of a virgin, died, was rose again on the third day, and asked Him to come into their heart and forgive them their sins. Amen? That's what a Christian is. Don't read any more into it, and don't take anything away from it. That's what a Christian is. That's what the Bible says. Always go what the Bible says, not what someone says, what the Bible says. Amen? Amen. So, we've established what a Christian is and what a believer is. Now, what is a mature Christian? Now, that's the road we're going on today, okay? We as Christians want to become a mature Christian because we want God to be pleased with us and we want to accomplish for Him. You know, it's like the brother coming up here singing today. I appreciate you coming up here and being bold and singing. God has given each one of us talents. Some of us He's given multiple talents. Some of you may be 10 talent people. Some of you may be 5. Some of you may be 3. You remember the parable where the rich man called up 3 servants?
To one he gave 10 talents, one he gave 5, one he gave 3. We came back after a time, and he said, how did you do with what I gave you? The one who had 10 said, Master, here's 10, because I worked hard. Here's 10 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Called in the one with 5. How did you do? Master, I went out and earned 5 more, just like you gave. Well done, good and faithful servant. The one that had the least talent didn't do anything. He said, you didn't deserve it. I just buried it in the ground. God doesn't want that. God wants whatever you have. And don't compare yourself to your neighbor. If they're a 10-talent person, praise them, help them. Help them to do their best to their 10. If you're a 1-talent person, use that one you've got. So I appreciate you using your talent this morning. Amen? I say amen because I like a lot of amens. Have I got an amen in the house? Amen. We're going to be a little Pentecostal here this morning. Let's go to maturity now. Maturity, according to the dictionary, is a noun. It says, meaning the quality of behaving mentally and emotionally like an adult. The state, fact, or period of being mature. Example, manhood, womanhood, or if your name is Robin, Robinhood. I threw that in just to see if you're listening. But spiritual maturity, I love this definition. Becoming more deeply rooted in the soil of God's heart. Becoming more deeply rooted in the soil of God's heart. Experiencing a loving, living relationship with God to the extent that you start to resemble Him. Our dad was recently in the nursing home. He just went home the night before last to Jesus. But while we were there, my sister and I was there one day, and there was a new nurse come in. And she said, now, who are you exactly? And I said, well, I'm Jeff. I'm his son. And Jill said, and I'm Jill. I'm his daughter. She said, well, I see the resemblance. You look a lot like your dad. Well, as far as spiritual maturity goes, don't we want someone to say, you resemble your Heavenly Father. You resemble Jesus. I mean, just the things that you do, the things that, how you react to problems, just all the things. Can you think of anything better that somebody says, you resemble your Heavenly Father? Yes. Amen. You know, talking about our Christian age, not all of us, just because somebody's older doesn't mean they're mature spiritually. Some people, I asked Jesus to come into our heart when I was 5 years old. I'm 59, so that makes me 54 as a Christian. Now, some people didn't accept Christ until maybe they were 75 years old, so that makes them a baby Christian. So we each have to grow at our own rate. The Holy Spirit is our teacher inside that teaches us, and guys like J.D. Teach us about God's Word. This morning, as we talk about different stages of our Christian walk, I want you to view in your mind how God, what stage He thinks you would be at, what stage you think yourself would be at, and as other people view your life, what stage you think they would view you at. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote in chapter 13, verse 11, that's traditionally the love chapter, but in chapter 11, he says, when I was a child, I acted as a child. I thought as a child. I looked as a child. I spoke as a child. But then when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, spiritually speaking, I think there are three major categories for us as believers. Babies, children, and adults. Category one would be a baby. Let's have some characteristics of a baby. You know, they're cooing, they're crawling, they're crying, they're needy. They're always wanting attention. Spiritually speaking, a believer in this stage would have a relationship with God, but really wouldn't be seeking a close one. In other words, they've accepted Christ as their Savior. They've asked Him to come into their heart. They believe they're a sinner, but that's the extent of their relationship. Now, let's take Angie and I. We've been married for a long time. Traditionally, as the husband, we are the provider and the protector, okay? As the wife, they're the ones who take care of the glue of the family. They keep it all together. They make sure that we have something to eat and it's fixed. They make sure that we smell good and that we look presentable. Okay? Now, traditionally, if I'm providing, protecting, Angie is taking care of us at home, we are still married. Okay? But there's no relationship. You see what I'm getting to? Now, you can be a baby believer and you can have fire insurance. In other words, you want to go to heaven. But you can still have no relationship with Jesus. You can have no relationship with the Father. You're just a believer, but that's about the extent of it. In church, this might be
how you'd be described, that you really don't want to put forth any effort. You're going to let somebody else do it. You're always wanting attention, and you always think it's someone else's responsibility. Maybe one of your favorite songs at that stage would be, Lord, I lift my name on high. Lord, I love to sing my praises. Or that ever famous song, It's All About Me. Now, those were old hymns, if you remember, but it was all about him, not me. But that would be a baby's song. Going on to the stage two, which would be the childish stage. At this stage, we're still mostly self-centered, mostly self-reliant, still mostly undisciplined as far as prayer life or Bible reading. Still needs constant reminders of God's parameters, where his fences are, what we can and cannot do as a Christian, and constantly experiencing the consequences of pleasing the flesh. Theme song in this category might be, just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more of what I'm craving for. I want to tell you about my friend Jerry. Where we go to church, I'm a section host, which means, let's say if I'm in this group, I'll walk around and shake your hand and get to know you and get to know what's going on in your life. Well, I met Jerry and Bonnie because they were in my section. So every week, we're all kind of creatures of habit. Is this about everybody set in the same place every time? We all do, don't we? It's crazy. One time I was a worship leader. I asked everybody to get up and move. Man, they did not like it. But anyway, Jerry and Bonnie always sat in the same place. And I went over and always talked with them, got to know who they were, and liked them. Nice people. Well, one day, Jerry just stopped showing up. Bonnie's there, but no Jerry. So I said, Bonnie, where's Jerry? She said, well, Jerry's gotten dementia now, and we've had to put him in the nursing home. Well, I had the privilege to go, and I have each month to go pray with people in the hospitals and the nursing homes, which is awesome, and I encourage you to do that, because people need love, and they need to see Jesus' heart there. But anyway, Jerry, after we visited for a while, I said, Jerry, how can I specifically pray for you? He said, I need money. Need money. And here's a 78, 80-year-old gentleman that needs money. In there with a dementia ward at the nursing home. So I didn't say anything. We prayed and went on. Several times go by, every time, same thing. Money! I need money! I took the bait this last time. After we visited, I said, Jerry, how can I specifically pray for you? He said, need money! Money, money, money! Jerry, if God was to give you that money, what would you do with it? He said, women. I'd have lots of women. What do you tell an 80-year-old man who needs money and women? Now, what stage do you think spiritually he would be at right now? I'm hoping it's the dementia. Category three, the adult stage, where spiritually speaking is, they would be more disciplined, they would be more mature spiritually, they would be tenacious. I like that word. Tenacious means you don't quit. You keep on pressing on. Right, Steve? Keep on going. The fruits of the Spirit would be more evident in your life. You remember the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. They would be more evident in one's life. Tendencies would be letting go and letting God. Constant communication with God, studying God's Word, the Bible, and seeking a relationship with God. Maybe the theme song at this stage in your life would be that Carrie Underwood song, Jesus, Take the Wheel, I'm Letting Go. You know, two things that I want to hit on before I close. How can we be ready in this 11th hour? Going back to the basics, we know what it is to be a believer in Jesus. We know what it is that we want to be a mature believer in Jesus. How can we start to do that? Now, there are several things, but two things we're going to hit on this morning is learning how to pray. Now, you say, how do I learn how to pray? Of course, if I need something, I pray to God. You know, prayer, do I have to get down on my knees and bow my head and close my eyes before God hears me? No. Can I do it that way? Of course. You know, God, going back again to the story we started with, God created you for relationship. He loves you. You know, Jesus would have came down and died for any one of you. I don't care how much you are in this world, if you're the highest guy going or if you're the lowest guy going, he loves you in spite of it. He says he loves you so much, he knows every hair on your head. for every hair that used to be in your head. He has them numbered. So I want to tell you about having a relationship with God. Just like I was talking about a relationship with Angie. The more you spend with Him, the more you seek Him. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. He said, if you will knock on the door, I'll open it. The more you knock, the more I'll open it. And so, just like I tell my kids, the more you want to do something well, you keep doing it. And you'll just keep doing it better. Because it just comes to you more natural once you keep doing it, right? God wants to be sought after. He wants to be appreciated. You know, Angie said some lady came up to her church the other day and said, you're just so pretty. So this lady didn't even know Angie. Now, Angie came and she said, that lady thought I was pretty. She felt so good about herself. Now, let's say Greg is really good at wood carving. And somebody says, man, that's the best wood carving I've ever seen. Wow, he feels good. Or let's say you did really good on a test. Or let's say you did a great job singing. Or whatever it is that you did. You look pretty. Your hair looks good. Whatever. Somebody compliments you, you feel good about it. We are created in God's image. Do you think He's any different? Do you think God ever... How many parents do we have in here today? Look at that. We all know what it's like when our kids want, right? I want this. I want that. But isn't it nice when they appreciate you? You work really hard so they can have those things. Isn't it nice to be appreciated? You did a great job. Thanks, Mom, for that great meal. Thanks for cleaning my clothes. Thanks for going to work, Dad. Thank you for all. Isn't our Heavenly Father the same way? Doesn't He deserve that even more? He wants a relationship. A relationship is appreciating Him for who He is. You know, He is the artist of artists. He is the poet of poets. He is everything. And He has included us in those plans. So we should do the same with Him. And you know, praying, that's a fancy religious word for communication. It's just talking to God. It's just having a conversation, just like we want to talk about, how you doing? See, how great. See, we're forming a relationship. But you see, it's the same with God. You don't have to be on some spiritual high plane. You can't be good enough because He said your best is like filthy rags because He's so holy. That's where Jesus again bridges the gap. But all the time, if you don't like praying, if you don't like reading His Word, just tell Him. He already knows. He knows your heart. He wants you to be honest with Him. That's what a relationship is. If Angie knows I've got a weakness, she already knows it. I don't have to tell her. Hey, I throw my clothes down by the bed. I don't have to tell her that. She can see it. God knows the same about you. He knows the same about me. He just wants you to come clean with Him. And He wants to start a relationship. That's what it is. That's the relationship with God. And praying is just talking with Him. You know, you can be driving down the road praying. Now, I suggest you don't close your eyes. The guy you run into may not know the Lord, so you want to keep your eyes open when you're doing that. But that's okay. You can pray when you're in the shower. You can pray when you're cooking. You can pray when you're on vacation. It's just talking to God. Just a fancy word for communication. Okay? So just practice that because you'll see your life change. You'll see all of a sudden His attributes, those fruits of the Spirit, all those things come about when you have that relationship. Something God taught me last year too, and I want to include it to you. Be specific when you pray. Does everybody know what a shotgun is? If you're going hunting, it's hard to shoot a specific target with a shotgun that you're going to do any good. You need to aim specifically at it. Well, God showed me in our prayer life, we're to be specific. Don't pray that God feeds all the children in China all over the world. May they all be safe and happy tonight. Be specific. If you know of a child or someone who needs prayer, do it specifically. Lord, and little Johnny Smith is hurting tonight. I just pray for John Smith. Lord, that you just touch him. If there's John Smith here today, forgive me. That's just a name came to my mind. But be specific in your prayer. And don't say, honey, I'm going to pray for you. Do it right then. God showed me if somebody's hurting and needs prayer and you say, I'm going to pray for you, stop right what you're doing. If you're too busy to pray for them, you're just too busy. That means we've gotten too busy. Stop and pray for them. That's who God wants us to be. God wants you to be Jesus to everybody you see. You know, you at the workplace will be with different people than I will be. JD is around different people than you will be. Your family, your friends, your workers, your teachers, your students. We all have a different group of people. And God says you're to be a preacher. You don't have to be behind a podium to be a preacher. You preach no matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you're a custodian, a garbage collector, a brain surgeon, a car salesman, Who thought a car salesman would ever be up here preaching to you? I never thought I'd be a car salesman, but that's what God put me in. But that's just an occupation that I provide for my family. But I still want my life to preach. Amen? Because this is not about me. You like that song? It says it's all about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, that picture, okay? That's what we're here today, to learn more about Him, to spread the good news, because God hasn't sent Jesus back yet, because He loves every one of us, and He loves everybody going down those streets in every town. And He uses us, ordinary, common people, to tell other people, because He loves them that much. Amen? That's why it's so important to have a relationship. The second thing I want to touch on today, quickly, is faith. What is faith? That's a hard one to get a hold of for me. You guys doing okay with that? I have faith that this podium is going to hold me if I jump up and down. I'm not going to look to Steve and see if it's going to do it or not. I didn't know what was under that thing before I jumped. I had faith that it was going to hold me. Okay? When I say, Jesus, take the wheel, I'm having faith that He's going to help me in whatever my situation is, whether it's good or bad. Hebrews 11:1 says, now it's called the faith chapter. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, I hope this podium's going to hold me. I'm hoping for it. But I don't know because I haven't seen what's underneath there. There could be some rotten tuber cores under there. It's getting ready to snap. The evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 also says, now it's impossible to please God without faith. I don't know why. I didn't write the rules He did. But He said, unless you believe by faith, you're not going to please me. Now, how do I get this faith? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. What? You mean I got to know this thing? You know, the thing is, once you know this thing, there's power in it. God says this word is active, living. It's not dead. This is alive. This is powerful. David said, Lord, hide your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. You know, my grandma or mom, those in my life that God has put in there to guide me as a young Christian, to teach me the love of Jesus, you know, they would keep me accountable and, you know, have you prayed and read your Bible? Well, no. Don't like reading. Didn't enjoy reading my Bible. Well, Grandma Amy just said, well, tell the Lord about it. So, as a young kid, I started saying, Lord, I'm sorry, but your word puts me to sleep. Now, how can you be more honest than that? I'm sorry, it's just boring. I want to like it, but I don't. Would you help me? Now, as a loving father, if I asked Larry to help me with woodworking or Don, they love me and they would help me, okay? Now, your heavenly Father loves you 1,000 times more, 10,000, 1,000,000 times more. He's going to help you. Just admit it. Lord, I don't like to read your word, but I want to. Would you help me to want to? I have prayed that for years and years, and guess what?
Yeah.
I don't feel right if I don't read my Bible now. Every morning, Angie and I get up at a special time, and you should do that. Dedicate a special time when you're not too tired and read your Bible. Dedicate that time to God. That's your special time, okay? Life is busy. All you guys raise your hands as parents or as students or whatever. Life is really busy, and that's a deception, but it's really busy. So dedicate a time that you can have special just between you and God, because that's special for Him. There was a song years ago by a guy named Larnell Harris. He was a black gentleman who had some real pipes. You ever heard of Larnell Harris, anybody? He sang a song, and I've always loved it. He said, I miss my time with you. Man, I love that song. I still listen to that. And I know that comes from God's heart. He misses His time with you. So faith, again, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you don't have faith, then we should ask God to help us with it, because He will. But just admit it and keep asking Him. Be persistent. Just like if you're a basketball player, you want to keep shooting, keep dribbling, you're going to get better. Whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you don't do, just keep practicing. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened. Amen? Remember, God said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, and the mustard seed is the smallest seed there is, you can say to this mountain, be removed, it'll be thrown into the sea. Now, I don't know how that works, but God says it does. Now, it doesn't have to be a mountain. That mountain might be a financial problem. That mountain may be cancer. That mountain may be whatever, okay? But God says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to it, be gone. And he will give you that peace. He will show you how to do this, okay? Don't know how he does it, but he's God. But he says he will. And he is true to his word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. In closing, I want to go to Matthew chapter 16, verses 3 through 16. Jesus sent several of his disciples out to the different communities. When they all came back, he said, so who do they say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Some say you're Jeremiah, or maybe a prophet. Here comes the real question. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Peter immediately spoke up. He said, I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The question still comes to you and I today, individually, each one of us. Jesus asked you today, but who do you say that I am? Today, if you haven't asked Jesus to come into your heart, or if you have a problem that you would like prayer for, or rather rededicate your life, we are at the 11th hour. Jesus is coming back. And once he comes back, it's going to be tough. Okay? There's going to be utter chaos. And like I say, that's a whole other message. But if all the believers of Jesus are taken out, who's going to be telling you about Jesus? Who's going to tell you how there's going to be eternal life? It's going to be tough. That's why today is your day. If the worship leader will come, the song team will come, we're going to sing our closing hymn, have an invitation time to come up and pray, but this is your hour. Can we stand?